Art Camp List 2022.
How are we doing on it? It's kind of still art camp.
It's mostly has lots of checks. It says here we need to explain what Cheech and Chong is. So I guess before we get started, we should talk about what the podcast is all about.
Okay. Well, I feel like it's just our interpretation of the world. We've chosen a unique life.
Yeah, we're like misfit folk singer, parent, teacher, adventurers.
Right. And we have a lot of interests. We try to work really hard and play really hard every day.
Wow, so poetic. Yeah.
I also think that we have a do-it-yourself, like a work ethic and an attitude, but also we really enjoy the process of creating. So whether that's dinner or a garden bed or a song or a art project, something visual, I feel like that's kind of what makes us tick. Hey, Trav.
Hi, Allie.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm kind of nervous about our first ever podcast.
Well, here we are. Welcome, everyone. I'm Teach.
And I'm Wrong.
This is our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Where we talk about fishing,
games,
music,
moons,
parenting,
breathing,
rituals,
walking,
cooking,
sunrises,
washing dishes,
planting plants,
teaching,
pruning plants,
laundry,
harvesting plants,
pickling,
preserving,
DIYing,
creating,
guitars,
washboards,
microphones,
ventures,
road trips,
yes, wilderness,
camping,
yep, urban,
nature,
magazines,
cities,
painting,
books.
Episode one.
We're going to talk about episode one. Rituals.
Ritual.
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 Ritual. Look, Mama, I have a ritual.
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 What is a ritual? Rituals. A series of actions or type of behaviors regularly and invariably followed by someone.
Well, Trav, so when we picked this theme, I had to go to the library. And I found a lot of different things about rituals. And I started reading and reading, and the first book I read, interestingly, was called Do Nothing. Which is kind of funny to read a book about doing nothing because you have to read it.
What does that doing nothing have to do with rituals?
Well, I think it was that whole idea of thinking about personal connection and the overcomplicated world we live in that kind of pulls us away from ourselves. But a lot of times the rituals are very simple and they're very personal. We might not even realize there are patterns and they're the things that kind of hold, they're sort of the glue of our day, holding us together from all the other distractions and things pulling us apart.
But rituals are different than habits.
Right, and it's subtle because some things that you habitually do might be a ritual, but I do think a ritual might be intentional.
I was looking around a little bit too, doing my research, which I didn't do really very much research, but to me it seems like a ritual is defined as being a rite of passage. Like you have to perform this ritual to move on, to move forward, to the move to the next phase, whatever that might be.
I think that is one way that we see rituals in our cultures and society around the world, and of course I'm sure there's experts in every single aspect of that, you know, sociologists and historians and linguists and musicologists, but I do think it's interesting that we might participate in these rituals somewhat passively, not really understanding or knowing that we're even...
Like what's an example?
Well, I think about just like with our family and all of the rituals that we participate in around different holidays, because they're traditions, they're fun, but we might have become a bit detached from where those traditions came from. And a lot of them might have kind of spiraled back to different ceremonies, different rites of passage, different seasonal ceremonies. And of course, there's all manner of religious ceremony that gets kind of sprinkled together into this personal family tradition. And untangling the idea of like tradition, ritual, habits, routines we've selected a difficult topic for ourselves.
I don't think it's very hard.
That's good. I'm glad you're confident.
No, it is hard. Rituals. I don't know. It's just a nice word.
Ritual, ritual, I wish I had a ritual. If I had a ritual, I'd do it every day. If I had a ritual, I'd put it in my pocket. I'd take it to the market and I'd show it to my friends. Just a simple, small one, something I could gnaw on. If I had a ritual, I'd do it every day. Well, I bet you wish you had one. Too bad that you ain't got one. Imagine if you had one, you could do it every day. So ritual, ritual, wish I had a ritual. If I had a ritual, I'd do it every day. If I had a ritual, I'd do it every day.
When you think of rituals, are you thinking more of like the personal rituals, the way we can connect within ourselves?
I think that I am, yeah.
That's where I feel like I've spent most of my energy over the last couple of years, really trying to like reground myself from this very spun out condition on planet Earth. And
I'm shaking my head right now. That's something that doesn't translate to podcasts or my funny facial expressions and gestures. But
I'm sure everyone can hear it. But I'm sure I'm not the only one who has personally like found some new routines or rituals that have helped me get through each day. And now they are part of my pattern that I look forward to, and they are quite intentional. But I did find that they were awkward for a little while.
Well, what was awkward? Okay, here, I got a question for you, actually. Is there a ritual that you can recall that was like the first ritual that you ever performed?
Oh, well, I think mine might go back to rituals around, I'm thinking like of my 13-year-old self, rituals around beauty. And all of the different, kind of, oh my gosh, you know, the face washing and the lipstick padding and, you know, maybe not at 13, but as I kind of moved through those teenage years trying to figure out myself and my identity, you know, just these small things that I would pick up somewhere and try on, and then sometimes they became more personal. So that's one that I can think of. And I wonder if I still do some of those things that I, you know, started when I was sort of in those teenage
years. I can't go to school until I put all of my makeup on this way.
Right. Or, you know, walk back to the bathroom one more time and check my hair. Or something very superficial.
I guess I used to have rituals too, like before a football game or something, I would do my meditation a certain way, and that was my ritual before the game, my pre-game ritual.
Could you walk us through it?
Oh, I guess I could, but just a way of relaxing where you begin with thinking of a peaceful place, and then breathe a certain way, you know, breathe in slowly through your nose and out through your mouth, and keep visualizing this this relaxing place, and then just work through your body from the tip of your toes all the way to the tip of your nose, and relaxing every muscle in between one at a time. And amazing how time passes quickly that way. You don't notice it passing. But it was a good way to, well, actually it wasn't a good way because I never had any like success in football, but I was relaxed going into the games.
Well, you still remember it.
Yeah.
This many years
later. I still use it too for relaxing.
Do you use it before performance, like before performing as a musician?
Not so often, I guess. Maybe I've reduced it to certain a small version of it, a condensed version of it. Yeah, so I guess yes. Mm-hmm. But definitely not the same. At the beginning, it was, I think, listening to a tape and learning how to do it. But I guess that's considered a ritual.
Absolutely. I think that's interesting, too, how part of it... Do you think the intention was to minimize distractions or to focus or to deal with your nerves? Like when
All of the above.
Yeah. Which I do think can be part of the benefit of having rituals, no matter whether they have names or not, or where a person, if they learn them from a book or a tape or a podcast or a just something they started doing because it helped them, that principle of grounding yourself into like being wholly present in your body and minimizing the mental chatter, I think is something that is common throughout a lot of the rituals that I've been reading about, all across lots of different cultures.
There's some interesting rituals, aren't there?
Yeah.
Mine isn't very interesting, I guess.
Well, but if it's simple and you can kind of reach back to it whenever you need it, and no one knows you're doing it, right? It's not, it's personal. It's happening like inside your own curated space of your mind and body. So it can be a private way to get back to a grounded place. I think that's really valuable.
Sometimes in the middle of summer, I'll stand naked outside if it's windy. That's kind of a ritual.
How does it, does that feel more like a celebration or a rites of passage?
Oh, it just feels.
Is it something that you do on a whim, or is it something you have to like map out?
Oh, I don't map it out. No, it has to be on a whim and under the right circumstances, because I wouldn't want to like, I don't know, mess up somebody's camping trip by seeing some hairy guy standing naked out in the woods. But anyways, we should change the subject. Hey, everybody. Just want to take a quick second and thank you for listening to the Teach and Wrong podcast. You can support the podcast via my Patreon page, patreon.com/user?U=6307845. You can also consider purchasing a Junker Dash Records membership at the Junker Dash website, www.junker-records.com. Also, be sure and check out the video and recording archives on the Junker Dash Records YouTube page. All right, back to it. Rituals, a series of actions or type of behaviors regularly and invariably followed by someone. I just made that up.
It sounds pretty good.
I didn't make it up. I read it. That's the definition of ritual.
Well, when I think about it, I think about it. It's taking something that might be an ordinary day or an ordinary part of a day or an ordinary act and making it special.
Yeah. There's lots of different kinds of rituals. I mean, we all have our personal rituals. A lot of yours were when you were a kid where you were talking about beauty rituals.
Oh my gosh. That's embarrassing.
Well, here's a ritual that's kind of embarrassing for me. My cousin Steve and I used to go out often and have our adventures. We'd go hiking or sightseeing, but we always had really deep conversations, but we both had and still do have a fondness for beautiful places in nature. But one time when I was a kid, we came to a really cool spot and he kind of looked off of the bluff at the mountains and he held his hands stretched out to his side and he put his thumbs up and he kind of thrusted his hips forward. And I was like, oh yeah, he's like, I get it. Kind of making love to the beautiful spot on the earth. How awesome is that? So it became kind of one of my rituals. And, 25 years later, I was doing that. And he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, it's like my ritual, you know, like we used to do when you find a good spot in nature and you got to just appreciate it by kind of giving it a little bit of your love. He's like, oh, no, it was a yoga stretch that he was doing. The whole time he wasn't actually making love to nature. He was just stretching. So that's like a misinterpreted ritual that I had, but now it's still a ritual and it's real.
Right. So what was a misinterpretation has become pretty intentional, and you reserve it for special moments.
Yeah, like if you catch a big fish. You know, sometimes you just gotta give that fish a kiss before you let it go.
On the mouth?
Yeah, kiss it.
Give it a little fishy kiss and send it on its way. Catch and release.
Catch and release. But there's lots of cool rituals. Dead Moon had a ritual.
Tell us a little bit about Dead Moon and then their ritual.
Well, they're this rock and roll band. I never got to see them live, but they held their art really, really close to themselves and had a lot of pride and DIY, and people respected them, I think, as people. So maybe they're not really like quite like us. People respected them as people as much or more than they respected them as artists. And the two kind of blended together. But anyways, the band is a trio, and they played great, great rock and roll. And right before they would play, they would have a candle going in like a bottle. And they would gather around tight to the drums around the candle and put their hands together really tight right before, and like have a connection before they started the show.
I love that.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a neat band.
And I love their music as well. Recommend it to anybody who hasn't checked it out before.
Oh man, yeah, so good.
So powerful. And they may be connected to the Mississippi record label. That would be where to go looking for Dead Moon albums, though, possibly. I love that idea, though, of it's something that brought them close together before they shared themselves with people they maybe knew or did not know. It's like a way of being strong and vulnerable at the same time.
Well, they kind of made them each individually more powerful by being together, connected a little bit deeper. And yeah, that's powerful.
Well, I was thinking about even just as a family, some of the rituals that a lot of us engage in with our children, just when they're very small, you know, bathing, like the games that we play. Yeah, lately, you know, I've been reading to the boys, and our boys are old enough they don't need their mom to read them to them before bed, but it's been such a pleasant experience in the evening as a way to just enjoy a story together has been really beautiful. And I remember when they were small, a lot of times you would read to the kids. We read, you know, like avidly the whole Hobbit, Lord of the Rings series, you know, when they were small, and the Harry Potter, Dark Material.
I think we liked that one more than they did at first.
The boys and I reread that one through the pandemic, and it was just been so pleasant. We started a new book recently, and I'm not sure who's enjoying it more, them or me, but I do feel like it puts us in a pretty relaxed and connected state, and I treasure that.
Do you remember when we got married? Did you drink some beer? Like, there was a couple kegs of beer, and we had that big party, so we drank beer, right?
I think so.
I did too. Well, imagine this. There's a tribe where, I think they're called the Tidong tribe, where they get married, a couple gets married, and they have to, it's their ritual after they get married, to not go to the bathroom for 3 days.
Whoa.
3 days. Yeah, what if you had like 12 beers at your wedding? Like, you would die, right?
Well, I can't. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's no peeing or pooping. And then they do it, and it leads to a happy life.
So it's like a rite of passage, a personal, overcoming your personal needs. Well, I wonder, oh, it's so interesting how, where did that start, and what does it signify? And of course, there's most likely someone who's been more familiar with that than I am, but that just doesn't, that's impressive. I'm impressed.
What if you got married when you were old and, like, you had a swollen prostate?
Well, I just wonder, too, like, I wonder if overcoming something that's, like, a bodily function or bodily need, you know, if it does alter the state at some point, alter one's state, you know? Think about people who like survive extreme events or, you know, put themselves in, they're in grave danger. You know, like, what is that altered state and what role does that play in that, you know, starting a new life together? That's interesting.
Yeah, weird, huh? Well, there's another one where this tribe down in the Amazon, I think it was down in the Amazon, in the rainforest anyways, a young boy would climb to the top of this giant platform, like 75 feet, tie a rope around his ankle, and then jump off. And like sometimes they'd hit the ground, and it wasn't a bungee, it was just a rope. Yeah, and sometimes they'd die, sometimes they would, you know, break a leg or an arm or rupture a spleen, but that was also like a rite of passage. Did that, then you can live and be a man, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Well, as a mother, I can't help but like wonder how culturally does that fit? Like, that seems just so the antithesis of my protective instinct.
Okay, well, here's another one. There's one in maybe in India. Okay, I read a bunch of them. I'm not sure which one was from what country around the world, but I think it was India, where the mothers would have a baby, and they go to the top of like a 30-foot tower, and they would throw the baby off, and then the family would catch the baby in like the family blanket. So it falls 30 feet, but then it's good luck, you know, if the baby survives, and like, oh yeah, it's gonna make it. And I guess at some point, maybe the success rate of young baby living wasn't as good. And
I mean, I am sure that they catch the babies. They're not gonna do it if they don't catch the babies. They're catching the babies. But the overcoming that, that just makes my stomach turn or my bones hurt to just even think about that experience. And I'm not quite sure where that fits in our more modern society, or, you know, if those same cultural traditions exist in some new form. I think it's very interesting, but I also, like, my research that I did was much more about, like, personal rituals and, like, mindfulness, meditation. I did a bunch of reading from the Dalai Lama. I read about creativity and flow and rituals around creativity. So I think it's also interesting how differently we interpreted our own theme.
Well, trying to strike a balance
That's
there,
right.
you know?
Yeah,
I didn't want to read the same things you were reading.
That's right.
Uh-oh, hold on. It's review time.
Reviews.
Today we are reviewing incense.
Incense, because incense are a great ritual. Using incense in your home. And we thought, well, we'll give it a try.
Heck yeah.
Try some new incense.
How many did we review here?
I think we have 5.
This is kind of I don't know. It's not very extensive.
Right.
I just bought a few boxes at the Big Smoke up the road.
We gave ourselves like a $5 to $10 limit for review.
All right. What's the first one that you sniffed?
Well, I've been, I was given a little box of this Stupa incense. It's called Latka Rope incense. Our good friend Debbie Farber got that for us for Christmas. And so I've been using that in the morning, so I reviewed that one. And
please do tell us what's
well,
it smell like.
Well, first of all, it's beautiful to look at because it's this twisted kind of bangle rope-looking incense that hangs from a wire. And it has its own built-in little ash catcher, so that's very pleasing and practical. And so when you light it, it has this soft and pillowy-like scent. It's quite fragrant, so you only have to use a little tiny bit for each time. It's almost powdery in it, the way that it's scented, floral, but not overpowering. I've been using it as I'm trying to learn how to meditate, so I've been burning a little of that to try to set a mood and hold a moment.
Cool. Yeah, I like the little rope.
Idea.
It works well. I like the little stand. So I bought a few boxes of Satya brand. 4 different boxes. And I use the incense all throughout the day. Put one in the kitchen early on. Kind of gives the house a flavor. Put them in the studio in the afternoon. Anyways, the first one I tried was called English Lavender. And, oh, let me tell you, this one. It reminded me of a middle-aged to maybe an older man who works in a professional world as a banker or maybe in a courthouse and definitely is a smoker and wears too much cologne. It kind of also reminds me of, I don't know, a late 80s head shop or a music store. And I think I'd give it 2 stars. English Lavender.
English Lavender.
2 stars.
2 stars. I noticed it kind of makes me sneeze a little bit.
I don't like it very much. Maybe No, 2 stars. 2 out of 5. I also tried one called Egyptian Musk. And this one is interesting. They should have called it 1978 Yoga Studio. It's long burning and subtle. I liked it. 3 stars.
All right.
Yeah. I also did Dragon's Blood.
Oh, great name.
Yep. Subtle, light, a little bit airy. 3.5 stars.
All right. I also reviewed another one that actually is called Rituals Incense. And it's, I think the flavor name is Mayan Copal. And it's interesting because it's shorter. It's not stick incense, but it's shorter sticks. And they're more rustic looking. They look sort of ashy. They have these kind of... coal. It has a coal-like look to it.
It has a neat box.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And it's sweet and herbal. It's not overly perfumey, which I appreciate. I only used like a little bit. I didn't burn like a whole one, just so it wasn't too overpowering. It kind of has a comforting sort of nature path meets campfire on its way out at the end of the night sort of vibe. I really did enjoy that one quite a bit. And so I've been, savoring it.
Is that the one that I've been smelling when out in the art house lately?
Oh, actually, that's the little smudges.
Okay,
I've been
burning
those
are really nice.
They're really nice, yeah, and they're easy to make and fun. I
I've been really enjoying the smudges as well, the pine smudges and the sweetgrass smudges that I made.
Did you give them stars like I did?
I didn't really remember to give the stars. Lots of stars. Stars for everyone.
I did another one. It was the same brand, and this one is called Love Spell. And I burned one in the house last week. And Reuben, our son, he said it smelled like smoke. Cooking smoke, and not the yummy kind. But I kind of disagree. I found myself immediately transported to a room with a shag rug, a lava lamp next to the hi-fi, listening to Curtis Mayfield probably, a candle, two TV dinners with Salisbury steaks, and my lover, 3.5 stars.
Love Spell. That seems like that would go well with those Studio One albums we've been enjoying.
Oh, yeah, I didn't try that. Next time we do these reviews, we should do pairings.
Oh, that's a good idea. What will it be? What will our next review be?
Tune in next week.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us on this journey. Be sure and check out our next events. You can find them at hillfolknoir.com. We always have something fun that we're cooking up. And be sure and check out Trav's Patreon. You can find it at user?U=630-784-55 or search for Travis Ward on Patreon. Everything we make will hit Patreon first. We look forward to having you check out Junker Dash Records, the YouTube channel. There's a bunch of archived recordings and videos, as well as looking into a membership at Junker Dash. And thanks for being along with us. This is Teachin' Wrong.
So, Ward and Tater. I'm not allowed to say that on
no,
the podcast.
Okay.
Teach. I see that you're working on something over there. What is it?
Well, I've been trying to learn how to make little smudges for like smoke smudges, kind of traditions and rituals. Something I've been playing with over the last couple of years, trying to learn how to do it. And so I'm getting a bit better at it. I made one.
Looks like a log. Plant log. Presto log.
This one is just pine needles from when we were skiing a couple weekends ago, and I was gathering some needles off the top of the snow.
Ponderosa pine?
Yeah, this one's ponderosa pine. Which I'd never really thought about using the pine needles in a smudge. But Grace brought one home from a shop that was made of pine, and it just smells so good to burn it. So basically, I just wrapped it really tight with some embroidery floss. I laid the needles are laying in parallel, and then I'll let it dry. And there's lots of tradition and ritual about that. Some people will make them on the full moon or the new moon and then hang them in the moonlight. There's different, you know, you can hang them maybe not in the direct sun so they don't burn or get sunburned as the herbs dry. They will collect the energy, and then you can release that energy by burning them. But it's really I've been burning the smudges in the mornings before I do my little bit of writing every morning. And I've been really enjoying the pine smudges. They don't burn very much. They just kind of, you light them and then they just go back out pretty quickly.
A poof of smell though that,
yeah,
you know, and a smell can take you to a place immediately,
yeah,
or set off like a way of relaxing.
Right. So I've been enjoying that, and it's an interesting way to harvest and use herbs that often, you know, herbs and are just so prolific. There's just so much biomass there. Yeah, more than we could eat or more than we could dry or...
Well, the sage is like that. We have so much sage, right, but you can only cook with so much of it and make so much tea.
So I've been enjoying that that ritual in the morning. So I was making some new ones with these pine needles that we got up in the woods a couple weeks ago.
That just reminded me of a ritual I used to have when I was young, wild. But I don't know if I where I heard it or read it or what, but I heard that if you stand naked in the wind, then like the lost spirits can move through you. So it was like a windy evening, stand on top of a mountain naked and let the wind blow through you, and that's how you could commune with the lost spirits of your ancestors.
That's beautiful.
First time I did it, I got arrested. I didn't get arrested, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. Well,
no one even knew I did it. At least I'm not aware of anybody that knows.
It's a private ritual.
Yeah, exactly.
It is interesting though to just kind of think about intentionally communing with nature might actually be a way to commune with humanity.
It's another poetic moment. What is that thing?
Well, it's my list I made of all the rituals I could think about.
You thought of that many?
Well, I just made a brainstorming list.
Looking at mine, mine's like a brain farting list. Let's see. Gong sound. Naked in the wind. That's all I have on my list.
That's a good start, dear.
Teaching Wrong is a reel-to-reel production.
Brought to you by Junker Dash Records.
Oh, yeah.